All right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for another wonderful evening together in this outreach fellowship. Lord, people from all over the world come together and talk about Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we're all learning. We're all standing together to walk this walk that you have us on, this walk of sanctification and authority. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that we praise you for all that you're going to do tonight. And Lord, let us be ever watchful of what we say and always stop before we say something and think about what we're going to say before we say it. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that in me as well. And in everyone. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to your name, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that tonight people would come on and confess the word as part of their walk. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Lord, we thank you for that helicopter pilot. All that was on that helicopter are saved by a supernatural thing that you've done for them, Lord. And I thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. I believe it. All right. Anybody got anything I'd like to pray about? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I was already praying this morning about this. You know that the Lord has several blessings He wants to bless us with. And I think a lot of people are having a bit of problems with this on the outreach, including myself, actually, is trying to retain what we read, you know. And I love reading the Bible, and I know how to read it now, so I can discern quite a lot more than I was ever before able to. You know, I did a test today where I just picked up a chapter in Mark, and I said, "Okay, Lord, I want to see what's going to go on in the first 3.5 years of tribulation." So I read some of the verses there in chapter, I think it was 6 or 7 of Mark, and I saw some of the things. Yes, because you can see them even now, some of the things that you're going to meet up with some of these Pharisees that add to the word, you know, and that they were adding man's traditions. And so I want to pray something that we already have. It's just we want the Lord to reignite us in that blessing that we're all supposed to have from the Sermon on the Mount. And that is, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give us that hunger again. And Lord, that we would remember what we read.
Yes.
And this is a wonderful blessing. And you've told us, Lord, in your word, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every single blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. I went to my concordance, Lord, and I looked up all the words of blessed. And there's so many blessings, Lord. There's just so many. And they are given to us through the Holy Spirit, through the glory of God that He wants to share for us. We already have this, Lord, but we just want you to verify it and to magnify it for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray
Amen. Glory to
for
God.
this righteousness, for the righteous live by faith. And we need that blessing so much, Lord, to attain this hunger and thirst after righteousness. Praise and glory to God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Yes. You know something, Andrew, that's funny that you brought up the Sermon on the Mount, because I was reading chapter 5, 6, and 7 today of Matthew. Three or four times just to bone up on it again. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right,
You know,
Missy.
I was reading my proverb today, Proverbs 2, because it's the 2nd of March. And, you know, I'm reading it and I'm going, hey, here's a Pilgrim's Progress all through this.
I read it too today, too.
Wants us to have that walk. He wants us to have that path, that way,
Yeah.
and that journey. Oh, praise God.
Praise
Praise
the Lord. That's awesome. Thank you, Andrew. Boy, you and I must have been working together. We must have been working by the Holy Spirit, huh? Praise God. Go ahead, Missy.
God. I'll wait a little bit because my timer is about ready to go off. So somebody else wants to go first.
Okay. All right. That's fine. That's fine. Anyone else? What I'd like for us to do tonight, rather than give us a promise, I want you to get a promise that you confess for yourself that you need. And I'll give you a for instance. I confess that the Son has made me free, therefore I possess absolute freedom. John 8:36. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Glory to God. And I'm free as a bird. I'm liable to just fly out of here both anytime. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's the type of promise. Just confess it for yourself. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Got a prayer request or testimony? Hey, Jesse. Bless you, girl. Hey, Vanita. Here come George and Bethany. Hi, y'all. All right. Who's up with a confession? That doesn't sound right, does it? Confessing a promise for yourself. Yes, Judy.
Hey everybody, Lord bless you. I got there a few verses. They're in Romans 8, starting with 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather, that was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, even as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Isaac.
It's me, Isaac with the little one. I
Okay.
say, Christ in me will win this race. 1 Corinthians 9:24. All run the race, but one receiveth the prize.
Amen. Yes, glory to God. Thank you, Father, for putting us in the race. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I believe I just said my blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
There's a lot of blessings. So
Yes,
many.
there is.
Yes. I have a blessing here that I want to just say. It's in John 20:29, the very last part of it. Blessed they that have not seen and have believed. So you got to believe it. You have this blessing from God to believe it. Because that's the first verse that you said. You know, this is the Don't call it a doubting Thomas. Okay. It's blessed they that have not seen and have believed. You believe when you got birth, you believed. So you believed. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, Samuel got Deuteronomy 6 and 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Pat.
Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death.
You're muted, Michael.
I knew that. Go ahead, Barry. Hey, Barry.
Yeah, this is a 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen. Yes, he is. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Barry.
Well, mine's from Isaiah 53. And then also, but then I back it up with a few quotes from the New Testament, and I confess this every day. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. He bore the chastisement of my peace, and by his stripes I am healed. He has redeemed me from all the power and the curse of sin and death. Therefore, my sins have been forgiven, and my faith has made me whole.
Praise God forevermore. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. All right. Go ahead, Benita.
All right. Mine is Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Another good one. Is there any bad ones? No. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, Pat stole my one I was going to say. Anyway. Oh, gosh. There's a lot that I confess over myself every day. And this kind of covers a lot. I am an overcomer. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, and I love not my life even unto death. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right, Andrew. Y'all can have more than one if you want it.
I got a confession. It was funny how it came to be of what just happened, because my dad said you should say a verse. What did you say again?
Well, Ben was looking for a verse in his Bible here. And then I said, well, why don't you go to Philippians? Because I know you like that book. So he started looking in there. And then I said, after he found his verse, I didn't know what he picked. And I said, but Ben, if you want a love verse, I got one. So
then I got this verse, Philippians 1:9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insights, that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So that's...
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
It was just so all cool. Right. And I said, do you want a first, Ben? He already has.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Joe. 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speaketh, speaking as it were by oracles of God, if any man minister, ministering as a strength of God, supplying of all things, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, who is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Ooh, yes, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Joe. Go ahead, Julie.
John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Go ahead, Missy.
This is when I started confessing here lately. If God is for me, who can be against me? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Amen. The Lord is on my side among them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead. If you got something you want to say. Okay. All right. Anybody else? I got one more. I confess that the anointing of the Holy One abides in me, as it says in 1 John 2:27. And as for you, the anointing which you received of him abideth in you. And I'm going on with it. Therefore, I possess yoke-destroying results by this anointing, as it says in Isaiah 10:47, that his burden shall depart from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed by reason of fatness. Glory to God, thank you, Jesus. That yoke destroying anointing, we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. All right. I think Josie had one. Let me see here if I can find it. It's in the chat, I think. Yeah, Luke 9:23. This is Joseph. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Yes, that's correct. Lord, we thank you for doing that, every one of us. It's a hard road, but Lord, we've got to go through it. And once we get through the other side, it is wonderful. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Because we're free. We'll be so free. Glory to God. All right, anyone else? Barbara, do you have one?
No, actually, I don't. I'm looking, though, right now.
Okay, all right. Well, when you get it, just holler.
Okay.
Or just raise your hand. You don't have to holler. All right. I think George is probably looking for one. Cheryl probably looking for one. Yeah, Missy.
I'll give my prayer request now, if I can.
Okay.
I spoke to my mom a little earlier. I called her because I knew she was having her 2-week checkup with the surgeon after her knee replacement. I asked her how it went. She says, he said, I'm doing good and everything. And she says, but one thing, she's having a lot of nerve pain in her sciatic nerve, which I tried to warn her about it. So she has to she's taking this other medicine now, this painkiller. And as long as she's on that, she can't drive. And I don't know if he was actually going to release her to be able to drive or not. I don't know. But she said that she's not going to be able to drive for at least another week. And the reason she had this back surgery back in June. And since that back surgery, she's had more pain in her sciatic nerve. And the doctor told her that it was because it's that nerve trying to open up. Well, and plus, I don't think she was healed up, you know, well enough to be going through another surgery anyway. So, and see, when they put a tourniquet on your leg for the surgery, I found this article, even told me about that. A lot of people have a lot of bad nerve pain from that. And I tried to let her know about that. They didn't even tell her anything about that. And I asked her, did the doctor say anything to you about the tourniquet? She said, no. Anyway, so Father, I just praise you and thank you. You said everything, give thanks. And Lord, I know you're working. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show my mom through this, Lord, to just trust and believe in you, Lord, to be her healer, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that she's going to decide not to get that neck surgery in May and depend on you, Lord, and believe you for healing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for bringing her through this. And bringing and coming out with bold faith, believing you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. She's healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. And I forbid any bad side effects of this pain medicine. And Lord, I ask you for your mercy upon my mom in this, Lord. And I just speak healing to that. I command that nerve, the pain to go in the name of Jesus, that my mom will know that it was you, Lord. There's no other explanation, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And then tomorrow, we're having Alex over for dinner. And Father, I just praise you and thank you that he can come over, Lord, that he's off, and that we're going to have an even better visit than what we had with him the last time he came for dinner. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for an openness and just an enjoyable time with him, Lord. And that you guide and direct our conversations, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Alex and drawing him to yourself, Lord, and bringing him to true repentance and belief in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Does anybody know who this guy is? He's got his hand up. Is that Nick? Nick, is that you? Oh, Lord of God. Well, brother, sure is good to see you again. What's going on, brother?
Well, I got a praise report.
Awesome.
I went to work yesterday and I talked to the managers and they said they would let me have more hours than I have right now.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Lord, work him hard. Thank you, Lord. Work him long hours. Get him a lot of money.
So yep, and I'll have the other Sunday off, too, so that would be nice.
Oh, awesome. Thank you, Lord. That'll be awesome. It's good to see you, Nick. We missed you, brother.
Yep.
All right, Benita.
Oh, hello, everyone. Hey. I had a prayer request. We have our little puppy here, Finnegan, and I don't know, every time we get in the car with him, he just starts like salivating everywhere, just doesn't stop, and then he throws up, and so it's just really hard to go anywhere. I put on my raincoat and take a bunch of towels with me and pray over him. It's just hard to go anywhere that way, so I just want to pray for Finnegan, you know, just to have you guys agree with me that Lord, you'll just take this away from him and just take any fear or nervousness or any of that away from him, Lord, that he would just be excited to get in the car and ready to go every time. Thank you, Lord. And just praise you and thank you for the little Finnegan. And just what a joy he'll have in the trips we have coming with his head out the window. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for fixing that dog slobber. In Jesus' name.
Awful. I also have a praise report I wanted to talk about. Sure. When I was in the Baptist church, there was a lady that had spent quite a bit of time with me right when I started going there before I was actually saved, and just was very patient with me, and we talked a lot, and she just was trying to help me understand things. And eventually I did come to know the Lord, and then we went to church together for several years. And then when Frank and I, when our family went through a really rough financial time, she was very gracious and generous and helped us financially through some things, and just was there. You know, the Lord really used her, and so I wasn't really able to pay her back right away. So Nick and I went over there today to try to, you know, just finish that whole part of the story, just give her all, you know, get caught up on that. And she was just, you know, I put an envelope in front of her. I said, here, this is for the rest of what I owe you. And she's like, I don't want that from you. What is that for? What are you giving me that money for? I don't want it. I don't want that from you. That was the Lord that gave it to me to give to you. So I don't even want it from you. So do whatever you want with it. So, I mean, I was just nice to see the Lord work in her. And even more than that, which was the other thing that was so exciting, was we were sitting there and, you know, she's been in the Baptist church for years, you know, 15 years that I've been saved. And, I was telling her that I joined this church in Tennessee, and I said, well, you know, you probably wouldn't believe in speaking in tongues or anything. And she said, I believe in speaking in tongues. I said, what? You do? She said, well, yeah, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was speaking in tongues. That was the first church I went to, a church of God in Christ or something like that. When I was in Texas, I was filled with the Spirit and I spoke in tongues. I'm like, well, what are you doing at the Baptist church then? Anyway. I don't understand. And it's so funny. And she left the church that we both went to together, and she went to another Baptist church. She's been kind of church going around to different churches trying to find one, and they're all Baptist churches. Well, she went to one Nazarene church. And so I was just like, I just dumbfounded. I was like, well, I don't understand. If you know this, you know about this gift. And so the more I talked to her, she is struggling because she wants to join a church, but she can't settle on anything. And so in our conversation, and I was just telling her how excited I was and how much I've been learning and all these new things and everything. And she just was excited. She's like, we need to get together once a week, and we need to maybe sit together and, you know, go through something, one of your Bible studies or something. Or I don't know. She just was excited that somebody that she knew had the gift and understood the gift, and it had just been buried all these years. And so she was like, well, can you still speak in tongues? I said, well, I speak in tongues every day. I pray in tongues every day. She's like, you do? I said, well, yeah. I mean, if you've got the gift, you know, shouldn't you use it? And so as I was leaving, she's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to dig that back and get that Holy Spirit filled again and start doing all that. That was so exciting. So I'm just looking forward to where that's going to lead in our lives. So have some fellowship awesome. With someone close by. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father. Let this be them two sisters get together and have a great time in you, Lord. Praise God forevermore. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The little spirit-filled Baptist, huh? I don't think she's Baptist. She's got to be. You said Church of God in Christ? Yeah,
I don't remember what it was. Some Pentecostal type of church in Texas. So
yeah. Amen. Okay. Well, bless them both, Lord, as they come together and let them learn from your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Barbara. Barbara, you have to unmute. I can't hear you.
I'm so sorry, and I was talking away. Oh, Michael, I've been hanging around you too long. I'm kidding. Okay.
I didn't do that.
But I was telling Vanita, that's really exciting about, you know, you having a friend that you can, you know, possibly get together and, you know, just share the Lord. So, then anyways, the word I got was, Colossians 3:3. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, will be manifested, then will you also with him be manifested in glory. Amen. You're muted, Michael.
No, I'm not. Go ahead, Judy. Thank you, Barbara.
Vanita, did you say that Benny, when he's in the car, he's drooling all over the place and then he gets sick?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yep.
Well, I don't know if it's true or not, but I just take authority with y'all in agreement that that dog, Finney, has any kind of car sickness. It has to go in the name of Jesus, and all this drooling is going to cease in the name of Jesus, that he's not getting overexcited and he's not nervous or any of these things, and he does not have car sickness. I thank you, Lord, for taking that out of Finney and that he's going to be able to ride in the car and not make a mess. And I thank you, Lord, for doing a quick work there. Benny, you be healed. No more car sickness. No more throwing up. No more drooling everywhere.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. The dog is healed. What's his name?
It's Finnegan.
Finnegan. Okay.
Yes.
Nice Irish name.
For a German short hair, yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. No more raincoat, Joe says. Amen. All right, anybody else? Chapter number 2 in Sovereign God. God's sovereignty in creating the scriptures. As we need to go looking for a book. Amen. Yeah, Andrew, or Ben. I should say your last name if I could pronounce it, but I forgot.
It's okay. You guys, well, we were talking about dreams on Tuesday, and the Lord gave me a dream the night before, and I was going to mention it, but I think it was a little off topic. So,
go ahead. And,
okay. I'll just start it. Basically, the environment is... let's say it's like the Sahara Desert or an African like Sahara Desert environment area, and I'm on the outskirts of the village that I live in, and basically I'm leaning on a fence facing my village, like looking into my village, and I'm thinking, I'm really hungry for meat, but all I have is this really good, juicy-looking banana or a small, shriveled mushroom. Okay? And so I'm like, I'm going to be hungry after eating all this because I want meat. So I eat the mushroom first, and then I notice it's really bitter, but then after it's all eaten and down into my gullet, I'm full. Like, I don't need to eat anymore. I'm like, I don't need this banana, and I throw it aside. And then I turn around, and all of these, like, animals are, like, marching towards my village. And there was snakes, bugs, locusts, frogs, rats, lizards. And they were all just marching toward my village. And I'm like, wow, there's something coming, definitely. And then through the millions of all these animals, there's this beast that comes out of it. And the beast sort of starts going faster than the herd of other animals. And it kind of goes off course a little bit, but right behind the beast is a white horned rhino chasing it. And then it kind of like catches up to him and impales its behind with its horn. I'm like, well, the beast is dead. But to my surprise, the beast was not only able to walk away from the wound, he was able to tear off the horn and the top of the head of the rhino and just walk away. And the rhino's still alive and was very worried, I would say, and very exposed that its horn was taken away. So it chased after the beast again, and the beast graciously gave back like the horn and the head of the rhino by sitting back on its head. So basically placing the head back on the rhino by sitting on it. And then the rhino was miraculously healed, but you could still see the scar on its face of where its head got ripped off. And then in behind all this was a rock wall. And as the rhino was healed, cracks came out of the wall. And there was light coming out of the wall. And I could see in behind the wall that there was movement. And then someone touches my shoulder like this. And he's like, and the person that touched my shoulder was the leader of the village. And he said, you can have a hot dog now. And I'm like, okay. And then I woke up. And so I really thought about it and I prayed to God about it. And I think something big's going to happen in our government very soon. I think that the white hats are going to attempt something, fail, and then reconcile with the beast or the deep state. And I think that we're going to start seeing some sort of manifestation of the man-child soon. That's the light coming from the rock, and that there's going to be a lot of false doctrine coming in with, because hot dogs are a mixture of a lot of flesh from a lot of animals, right? So different types of flesh coming into and coming against us and tricking us.
So, you got your meat.
But yes, I was craving meat before, and I think it was kind of just like, you could be craving meat, but just watch out for different kinds of meat. That's what I was getting from it. I'm seeing it as a warning, and that, you know, the herd of spirits is coming towards the kingdom right now. And so if you guys see anything else, any other dreamers out there, I just thought I'd share it.
You're muted, Michael.
Don't anybody laugh. No, I don't want to see nobody laugh. Anyway, what I was saying is this, is that we know that there is a strong delusion coming. And I think we know what the delusion is. The delusion is, if you're keeping up with any of the off the mainstream news, but in like Operation Disclosure, I said before, Snooze, all of those kind of sites, you'll see that they're talking about UFOs and aliens and getting technology from them and all of this kind of stuff, and even talking to the aliens. And just some demonic stuff coming up. And people are going to be deceived to believe that these are good things from another planet. Of course, we all know what they are. They're demons. They're just deceiving demons. Matter of fact, I read a story about this guy that was involved with AI. I don't know if y'all saw it or not, but his son was having a talk with an AI. These are very sophisticated AIs, and was having a talk with him. And it seemed kind of strange to him because this entity, this AI, was talking about things it shouldn't have known about. And I started talking to him, and the kid was a Christian. And he asked him, he said, "Are you, I forget what it was." Anyway, it ended up, it was a demon that had entered an AI and was this trying to deceive. Of course, the kid and his father knew it was a demon. And that's the type of stuff we're looking at coming up the road. And there's going to be a lot of Christians that fall for that stuff. Well, the aliens are not demons. Listen, demons can put thoughts in your head. How many of you ever had a nasty dream, you know? Bad dream that didn't have anything to do with Christ. Well, that's what demonic entities doing there. And they can even make you think about things, you know, make you think that you're going from one place to another, being, you know, translated and all that kind of stuff. But we've got a lot of things that are coming upon the horizon. The beast, as Andrew or Ben was talking about, the beast will be defeated for a short time. And but then it'll rise up again about the mid-tribulation. But we're going to have, relatively speaking, Christians will have peace for 3.5 years, the first 3.5 years. And then, of course, the Great Tribulation, that's when everything is unleashed, and your faith is going to bring you through it. That's why it gives us 3.5 years to get the faith right. Yeah, Ben, you're going to type that up, send it in to us, aren't you? Yeah, that'd be good. I'll send it to David.
I'll type that up. And I got a second one, but I still got to pray about it.
Okay. That'd be good. That's a good dream because it goes right along with what we already know. It'll just be confirmation. All right. Anyone else? I've been to the mountaintop. Go ahead, Andrew.
I didn't listen to Wednesday's recording or anything. I had no idea that you guys were already talking about this. So if that's more of confirmation of what we're talking about.
You didn't hear David talk about the white dragon and the dark dragon trying to merge with each other.
Yep. Oh, you got Babylon and Eden coming together, you know, that kind of stuff. Did you have something missing? Okay. Anybody else? Okay, chapter 2, Sovereign God. Oh, my God, this is a great one here. This is the one that turns most of them off. I gave a Sovereign God book to just a funny story, you know. One of the Amish sects here locally, and she was a doctor, medical doctor, for the Amish, for the Plains people. And it's been a number of years ago, many years ago. And I came back by there about a week or two later, and I asked her about it. I said, "What'd you think about that Sovereign God book?" She said, "I had to throw that thing in the garbage." I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah." I said, that second chapter there with that Bible in it, said that's of Satan." I said, "Well, you better be careful here, you know." But she was numbers to her was a satanic realm. Did not understanding that God had it first. You know, that type of thing. Numerology, numerics, she thought was numerology. All right. God's sovereignty in creating the scriptures. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is a private interpretation, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God being moved by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1:20-21. There is no mistaking the fact that the Bible claims God as his author. It seemed fantastic that God could give perfect thoughts to imperfect men and make sure that what they write is perfectly inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16, every scripture inspired of God. Greek is God breathed. And it goes on, is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. He was so perfectly sovereign in this that it was said that he used men's mouth, Luke 1:70, and as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old, Jeremiah 1:9, the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. The prophets themselves also claimed this by prefacing their words with, thus saith the Lord. Jesus not only said that his words were from God, but that they also were judges, that they are eternal life. Job 12:48, he that rejects me and receives not my saints, hath one that judges him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. 49, for I spake not from myself, but the Father that sent me. He hath given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life eternal. The things therefore which I speak, even as the Father has said unto me, so I speak. And Jesus passed on this inspiration to those whom he sent. Matthew 10:40. He that receives you receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. New Testament teachers and prophets like Paul claimed this inspiration. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord. Can the divine inspiration of scriptures be proven? In this book, I will relate to you a few miracles that have happened to me, which have no reasonable explanation other than the supernatural power of a living, loving God who reacts to our faith in the scriptures. The most impressive miracle to me is what happened to me when a friend challenged me to read the scriptures. I was not at all convinced that God wrote them, and I thought, fairly happy living in sin. I enjoyed my dope, alcohol, hobbies, and generally pleasing myself with no desire to serve God or to be holy. However, I had a curiosity about the supernatural fulfillment of prophecies thousands of years old that were attributed to the Bible. So never having had an interest in reading, I started to read. At the time, I really did not know what was happening to me. This is the first time I really could not put a book down. I found myself neglecting everything that I held dear in the world, reading almost every spare moment. Before long, I really wanted to know the one who wrote this book, and I knew him to be God. About this time, I noticed that my stash of dope had been sitting in the cabinet untouched, and my almost finished Kawasaki Z1 show chopper got no attention. This was not the old me. My ski boat, race car, school bus, camper, gun collection, all fared the same. I eventually sold or gave them away. I knew that God's hand was upon me to reveal himself to me. When we put the word in us, we put God in us. He is the word, John 1:1. And I desired to obey what I was reading. When the word said to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, I did. Sin was running off me like water off a duck's back. When my new TV got in the way, I got rid of it. I respected the word more than men or religion for its power to deliver and bless. Has anybody got any comments? How many of you know that the word talks to you? It also sees you. It says that in the word of God. It's the word looks like it. All right. Anybody more? Read next. Well, thank you, Pat. You don't mind, do you?
Absolutely not. Okay. Can the divine inspiration of Scripture be proven scientifically? Science is observable and demonstrable. My testimony is just that to those who know me and to myself. But for further skeptics, I will share another miracle. Ivan Panin was exiled from Russia because he was involved in a plot against the Tsar, and he eventually came to the United States. Through his studies, Dr. Panin acquired the equivalent of 3 PhDs in philosophy, mathematics, and English. Among other things, Dr. Panin taught mathematics at Harvard University. In fact, Albert Einstein was one of his students. Friends considered both Dr. Panin and Dr. Einstein to have IQs of 200. Dr. Panin's training, devotion to Christ, and the scriptures well equipped him for his future work. Here, he found his life's work in scientifically proving the divine inspiration of the scriptures. For 50 years, Dr. Panin devoted 12 to 18 hours a day to this work. Here he found his life's work in scientifically proving the divine inspiration of the scriptures. For 50 years, Dr. Panin devoted 12 to 18 hours a day to this work. The basis for his revelation, which he called numerics, was the ancient Hebrew Old Testament and Greek New Testament scriptures. The Hebrews and Greeks used their letters also for their numbers. In other words, the whole Bible was actually written in numbers also. What Dr. Panin discovered was that when he used the numbers, the 66 books of the Bible showed a pattern of numbers and divisibility that no other writing had. He diligently researched other Hebrew and Greek writings and found no pattern. This included the apocryphal books added in the Catholics and other Protestant Bibles, including the original King James Version before its many revisions. I have read Dr. Panin's work for many years and am totally impressed. Below is a small sample of his volumes of work from a pamphlet titled Astounding New Discoveries. The number 7 is by far the most common number used in the surface text of the Bible, used in Revelation alone more than 50 times. But it is also common beneath the surface of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Feature 1. The number of Hebrew words in this verse is exactly 7. Feature 2. The number of letters in the seven words is exactly 28 or 4 sevens. Feature 3. The first three of these seven Hebrew words contain the subject and predicate of the sentence. In these three words are translated, "In the beginning, God created." The number of letters in these first three Hebrew words is exactly 14, or 2 sevens. The last four of these seven words contain the object of the sentence. These four words are translated, "The heavens and the earth." The number of letters in these last four Hebrew words is 14, or 2 sevens. Feature 4. These last four Hebrew words consist of two objects. The first is the heavens, and the second is and the earth. The number of letters in the first object is exactly 7. The number of letters in the second object is 7. Feature 5. The three leading words in this verse of seven words are God, the subject, and the heavens and the earth, the objects. The number of letters in these three Hebrew words is exactly 14, or 2 sevens. The number of letters in the other four words of this verse is 14, or 2 sevens. Feature 6. The shortest word is in the middle. The number of letters in this word is the word to its left, and the number of letters in this word and the word to its left is exactly 7. The number of letters in the middle word and the word to its right is exactly 7. These are only a few examples of the many amazing numeric facts which have been discovered in the structure of the first verse of only seven Hebrew words. Literally dozens of other phenomenal numeric features strangely underlie the structure of this verse. Many additional features are given in the complete 167-page edition of Astounding New Discoveries, 1941, by Carl Sabiers, a student of Panin's. Some later versions were edited to even plagiarize to prove poor manuscripts. Thus, according to the law of chance, the 24 features to occur in a passage accidentally, there is only one chance in 191, 581, 231, 380, 566, 414, 401. That's a chunk of change there. Only one chance in 191,381,281,380,566,414,401. The nomenclature herein used is the American and not British.
It's almost impossible for that to happen by chance, isn't it?
Absolutely. Many brief Bible passages have as many as 70 or 100 or more amazing numeric features in one very structure of their text. If there is only one chance in quintillions that 24 features could occur together accidentally, what would the chance be for 70 features to occur together accidentally? When there is only one chance in a thousand for something to happen accidentally, it is already considered highly improbable that it will occur at all. When there is only one chance in hundreds of thousands, it's considered practically impossible. But here is one chance in not only millions, but billions and trillions and quadrillions and quintillions that merely 24 features could occur together in a passage accidentally. If that's not enough to convince any sane man, there are patterns of 8, 11, 13, 17, 19, 23, 37, 43, etc. On top of the sevens throughout this word, larger patterns connect book to book, Old Testament to New Testament, and show the correct order of the books. What all this proves is that one divine, brilliant mind wrote the Bible, rather than 33 simple men and with relatively no schooling, who lived in different countries over the span of 1600 years. If men wrote the Bible, they would have all had to live at the same time and place, time and place, and all been mathematical geniuses. Then they would have each had to write their book last with the knowledge of the numeric pattern of all the other books. Men have tried to write a simple numeric text with the very few features and have failed miserably. The Hebrews had extremely stringent rules for the scribes to follow in copying the ancient manuscripts. God did this through them in order to preserve this pattern of perfection in the scriptures, that we might have the God-breathed word of God. If a Greek or Hebrew letter is added, removed, or changed, the pattern breaks in the text. The main problem today in publishing Bibles is deciding which manuscript to use. It makes common sense to use only ancient manuscripts, which were close to the original, with less likelihood of human mistake. Using a copy of a copy of a copy, etc., makes no sense. And yet, because of prejudices or lack of availability of ancient manuscripts, some have published Bibles from these. Needless to say, the ancient manuscripts proved to be much more numeric. What God has done through numerics is to give us a method by which we can find out which manuscript is right and where each one is right or wrong. Numerics has made searching multiple translations obsolete. It also makes it possible to find out which translation is the most accurate. In comparing the Bibles up through the early 1900s, Dr. Pannon rated the Revised Version, which was slightly revised for Americans and called the American Standard Version, as head and shoulders above the competitors. Before discovering Dr. Pannon's work, I came to this conclusion from Bynes' Expository Dictionary and New Testament Words and comparing manuscripts. I wanted to point out that in almost any Bible you pick up, you will find the needed knowledge of salvation and holiness. Some may want to start with easy reader versions until they gain a little knowledge, but for the finer points in teaching, accuracy is important. Toward this end, Dr. Pannon worked diligently. Two outstanding results of his work are numerically correct numeric English New Testament and the numeric Greek New Testament. In my own research, I consider them the most accurate available. These Amen. Are the words. There me, are words. Me, go ahead.
Yeah. But I, you know, what we would like to see is someone, you know, they took the English numeric Bible that we have now and redid it to make it a little more palatable to the American English language. But what I'd like to see is a Bible, and David has expressed this as well many times, with numerics in the New Testament and the ASV in the Old Testament, and one Bible, and put them in the order that Panin said they should be in. You know, there's a numeric pattern even for the Old Testament. It wasn't exactly, it's not exactly right as far as where the Bibles are located. And he put a, I think, has anybody ever seen those, how he has them listed, and it had them listed for the Old Testament as well as the New? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I think it's on the site. Yeah. But anyway, has anybody got any questions about what we've read about now? Yeah, Joe.
I don't have a question. I just want to, interesting, when Pat was reading in the beginning from that 66 books, I hope I can explain and try to understand. The 66 books of a Bible. Now, I was thinking, we know the mark of a beast is 666. So God give us 66 with two sixes. Now, the last six is, we know man's number is six. If you're ungenerated, if your vessels is still water, that's complete. But in other words, that's your mark of a beast. But if your water is changed into wine, that's new life. So that you change the sequence. So you're on God's part and not on the devil's number. So next, do you understand more or less what I'm speaking about? Julie?
Part of it, I understood part of it. I kind of got lost when you started talking about man being number six, 66 Bibles, the mark of the beast is 666.
Yeah.
And then what'd you say after that?
The Bible, God gives us 66 books of the Bible. That's the first two sixes of a mark. The last six is a number of man. And if it's number of man, in other words, the six water pots is our vessel. In other words, that's the mark of a beast. You put that your six to that double six, that's 666. Now, if God changes it, when your last one is in new life, that's Christ in you. That's, you change the number. You haven't got the 666. You only got the 66 books of the Bible, but it's true.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm still not following about the new life thing. Well, and man makes it 666, is what you're saying, when a man adds to the word or takes from the word or.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry, Joe. I'm not following with what you're saying.
Did you follow?
Is anyone else following?
Joe, are you referring to the six water pots that Jesus turned from water to wine?
Yeah. If it's type, I'm not just talking about the last number six. You know, there's three number sixes. The two is the first two is the Bible. The last six is man's number. That's the six water pots. You understand that? But
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that's water in it. If it's just water, that's 666. That's a mark of a beast. But if you change the last six, if God changed that to wine, when you change the sequence, it's not 666 anymore. It's just 66. You've got new generation in the last six.
Okay.
Okay, so well, let me have confused everybody.
That's something for us to look at and study on, yeah. Meditate on that.
Thank you, Joe, for sharing your revelations the Lord gave you, though. That's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think I understand what you're saying. I'm going to take a look at it after we get through. All right. Anybody want to? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
No, that's what I thought. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Ben, did you want to read, or Pat? What, go ahead.
I just got a question. And when I'm not clear on understanding how I know that the sequences are there, but how can you tell whether a word fits or doesn't fit? In other words, if somebody plugged another word in there, how can you tell that it messes up the sequence? Yeah. How can you tell that it messes up the sequence or something?
Well, in the numerics, it's italicized.
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is, how would Panin have been able to tell that that was, that it shouldn't have been put in? Let's put it that way. In other words, if you could, it would be relatively easy if the word in numerics, let's just say that sentence, well, in numerics is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And then if somebody came in and pulled one of the letters out, you could very easily see it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. You could see that something was skipped or missed. Or if you added something in, 1, 2, 3, 4, 12, 6, 7, 8, you could see that. That's the part that I've always been, I don't doubt what Panin is describing here. I just don't know how that you can tell when the sequence is broken.
Well, remember that Panin was a mathematics genius also. And, the Hebrew alphabet is also the numbers of the alphabet, like A is 1, B is 2, and so on and so forth. And he would, that's why he studied it for 50 years, 14, 15, 16, 18 hours a day. He knew more than I did. What he would do, he would see an inconsistency throughout the chapter or throughout the verse or whatever it was, and see something was not right, and he would put in, which would make the equation come out right. He even did that with the punctuation and also spaces between the words. If you look at the original numerics Bible, which we used to get from up in Canada somewhere, they had the spaces in it all through the thing, and it was kind of funny looking deal, you remember seeing that?
Mm-hmm.
But he did it all by adding and subtracting the numbers and stuff, doing whatever he does with the numbers, It had to line up with the pattern that was set. That's my understanding was. Anybody got anything else on that? Julie, you got something? Yeah? Andrew?
You would think that he would have had a master copy of just numbers, like Matthew 1, and then he would have had all the numbers for every letter in there so that he can compare the numbers in chapter 1 of Matthew with all the words that are there in the Greek. So he would have had something like that. And plus,
I think he did that first.
Yeah. Plus he would have, where they quote things, look out of the book of Isaiah, the same numeric pattern would have been there in Isaiah in the Hebrew that would have been translated into the Greek with the same numeric pattern. So that's something else he did and checked. He checked his the Greek translation from the Hebrew, what was in the Hebrew text. And I don't know if the Hebrews actually knew about the numerics, but they knew that they would check each page because the scrolls would be that way. And if they had a scroll that wouldn't write, they didn't burn it. They would bury it. So, because they didn't want to destroy the part that was good. Because, you know, you don't just bury a scroll. You know, there's several hours of labor. So some of these buried scrolls that they're finding could be copies that had errors in them, like the Dead Sea Scrolls. Because you don't throw a good copy of the Bible away, especially back then, because it took years for one to fill a full scroll in, maybe even a few. Well, they had scrolls for perhaps for every book, maybe a couple for Isaiah because it's so long. They wouldn't just throw them out. Like if it was wrong, they would bury it. That's something I heard, that they used to bury the scrolls that were wrong because the part that was right, they didn't want to burn it or anything.
Well, the scribes in the Old Testament, like Andrew was talking about, if I'm not mistaken, were very meticulous when they wrote down something from the Lord. Wrote down what the Lord told him to write.
Plus, and if you're continuing to write something as a scribe, you really tend to know the Bible very well. And they had lawyers there and all different types of scribes to check a master copy that may have been going to the synagogue somewhere.
Amen. That's before they sent it to the printers, running down there. Thank you, Lord. Well, it was a meticulous process they did in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, if you remember, the Holy Spirit gave those things to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and also Paul, and the rest of them, Peter, Timothy. But anyway, they were given the inspiration of what to put. What's interesting in the New Testament, and if y'all have noticed this, there's a difference in the Gospels as there is in the Pauline epistles. Pauline epistles. There's a great difference. And the difference is that Paul told who you are in Christ and explained it. That you're a new creation, and that new creation was like Jesus. And he gave you, he's talked about the authority. Jesus didn't tell us that because they couldn't understand that back then, but it was before the Holy Spirit came. And if you notice that Jesus told us, he told the disciples, you can't understand what I'm saying. Y'all can't understand what I'm saying. And they didn't. And if you look in the Gospels, they don't even talk about any of the things that Paul did. And they were with him for, you know, 30, 40 years. Some of them did talk about the Holy Spirit told them exactly what to say. And that's what they did. They knew exactly what they had to put down there. And if you probably, when you go to heaven, you ask them, well, why didn't you put some of the explosive Paul did in there? Because the Holy Spirit told me to write just this. I believe, well, that's just my understanding of it. Okay. Anybody want to read next, Benjamin? Okay, Brady.
Thank you, Pat.
Are we at there are words or word groups,
yeah.
Verses? Okay.
Yeah.
Or verses that when added up have values that tend to connect things theologically and sometimes show up in the surface text. Some have called the Bible science theomatics. This is also the name of the first book on the subject by Jerry.
Hold it. Where are you?
Page 4.
Here, I got this. There are here are a few examples of this with my notes. That's the new version of Sovereign God.
This is the old version. My dad's old school. He's got the printed.
Okay.
We should continue, or?
Yeah, I guess so. We'll find out where it leads us. Because it's not in, it's nowhere near what we got in the book.
Oh. Okay. On subject by Jerry Lucas and Del Washburn. Here are a few examples of their calculation discoveries with my notes, which prove God's sovereign design in scriptures. Example. Add up the numbers in Jesus and you get 888. This is divisible by 111. Lord God in Genesis 3 and 9 equals 111. Notice the divisible value 111 ties Jesus to God in the Old Testament. Jesus equals 888, or 111 multiplied by 8. Lord God equals 888, or 111 multiplied by 8 in Revelation 15:3. Lord Jesus equals 111 multiplied by 11 in Revelation 22:20. Word equals 111 multiplied by 2. Nazarene equals 111 multiplied by 2. My beloved son, which equals 111 multiplied by 14. Some hidden values show up in the surface text. Revelation 13:16, the number of the beast, is 666. Hidden in the values, 1 Peter 5 and 8, adversary equals 666. John 1 and 9, in the world equals 666. Revelation 12:12, great wrath equals 666. Revelation 18 and 3, merchants of the world equals 666. Revelation 17 and 15, where the harlot sits equals 666. Revelation 13:6, blasphemy against God equals 666 multiplied by 3. Revelation 16:13, mouth of the dragon equals 666 multiplied by 3. Revelation 13:3, the whole world wandered after the beast equals 666 multiplied by 5. Revelation 11 and 18, and to destroy the one destroying the earth equals 666 multiplied by 5. Notice that 666 ties together Satan, the wicked, and the kingdom of the world. Surface text. Revelation 14 and 1, behold the Lamb, and with him 140 and 4,000, hidden in the values. Romans 11 and 7, the elect, equals 144. Revelation 14 and 12, the faith, equals 144 multiplied by 7. Revelation 22, verse 17, the bride, equals 144 multiplied by 7. Revelation 14 and 3, the 144,000 equals 144 multiplied by 7. Luke 12 and verse 37. Blessed are those servants equals 144 multiplied by 7. Romans chapter 9 verse 11, elect of God equals 144 multiplied by 10. Revelation 14 and 4, purchased first fruits equals 144 multiplied by 10. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, clouds equals 144 multiplied by 10. Behold, he cometh with the clouds. These are obviously clouds of white robed saints. Notice that 144 ties together God's kingdom of the righteous elect, while the number 666 identifies those who manifest the name, Greek character and authority of the beast in their forehead in Revelation 13, 16 to 18. The number 144 identifies those who have the name, Greek character and authority of Jesus and the Father in Revelation 14 and 1. I hope you get the idea. These were some of the shorter phrases. Notice that doctrines of the beast, the harlot, and the world are connected. Doctrines of righteous, the elect, and the Lord's coming for them are connected. The whole Bible is full of this connection of doctrines by common values like 100, 144, 111, 153, 276, 666, 700, 1000, 1500, etc. Del Washburn continued to research and wrote several more books on thematics. Another fantastic mathematical proof of the inspiration of scriptures has been discovered. It has been popularly called the Bible Code, which is also the name of the first book on the subject by Michael Drosnin. Below is a summary of things gleaned from his book. John Maynard Keynes, who was provost of Cambridge University, discovered the papers of an earlier provost from 1697. Sir Isaac Newton Keynes, who wrote Newton's biography, reported that most of Newton's writings were not about math, gravity, or the solar system, but theology. He reported that Newton believed there was a code in the Bible that recorded human history, past and future. Newton had been diligently searching for this for many years before he died. The genius of Vilna, an 18th century sage, said, "The rule is that all that was, is, and will be until the end of time is included in the Torah, from the first word to the last word, and not merely in a general sense, but as to the details of every species and each one individually, and details of everything that happened to him from the day of his birth until his end." More than 55 years ago, Rabbi Wise Mandel of Czechoslovakia discovered that if he picked every 50th letter from the beginning of Genesis, the word Torah was spelled out. He found this skip sequence also in the rest of the books of the Torah, which are the five books given through Moses. Dr. Eliyahu Rives, a renowned Israeli mathematician, eventually unlocked this code by computer, an instrument that his predecessor lacked. His findings have been affirmed by first-class mathematicians around the world in scientific journals at Harvard, Yale, and Hebrew University, which he is an associate professor of mathematics. He has termed this code as equidistant letter sequences, or ELS. The sequences can skip one or many thousands letters and can go from right to left or left to right in the text with the same letter being used more times than we know. This makes layer on top of layer on top of layer, etc., of information beneath the text of the scriptures. Of course, words with few letters can be found randomly in other writings this way. However, in scriptures, the words, phrases, or sentences grouped with other related words, phrases, or sentences, or different skip sequence, or the in the same text, make this happening by chance beyond the realm of reason. Since Michael Drozdin's book, many Bible code software programs have become available. By using this software, volumes of discoveries are being made around the world. I have found discoveries with my own software. A friend found my wife's name and my own with our marriage date. Another friend found his family tree. If relatively unimportant things are found, just think about how much is actually there. It is probable that the genius of Vilna was correct. Revelations of the future are harder to come by because a person must have some kind of idea what to ask the software to search for. Drozdin found the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin and the year it was predicted, a year before it actually happened. He also warned the prime minister, but sadly the prediction was fulfilled on time. Later, the assassin's name was also found. He also found 2 months in advance the collision of the following shoemaker, Levi, will pound Jupiter, 8 AD, July 16th. Another thing that has been found is that the surface text is many times connected to the code beneath it. Drozdin shared an example of this in Daniel 12 and 4, where computer is encoded beginning with the words, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. It is clear that the information sealed up in the Bible could not be revealed until the time of the end, when computers became available. Confirming this fact, beginning in Deuteronomy 12 and 11, Bible code is encoded, and in Deuteronomy 12:12, sealed before God is encoded. A few of the other codes found in this book are the Holocaust, the moon landing, World War II, Watergate with the impeachment, the Wright brothers with their airplane, Edison with his light bulb, Newton with gravity, both Kennedy assassinations with the assassins, Bill Clinton's election, the Oklahoma City bombing, the Murrah building, and the Timothy McVeigh, etc. Most of these are given with pertinent information and sometimes dates. Also, there are future warnings of nuclear world wars, comets, asteroids striking the Earth, terrible earthquakes, plagues, economic collapse, etc. Most of these are given with pertinent information and many times dates. Some of these are warnings, just as Jonah warned Nineveh, which are conditional upon man's actions, and some are prophecies that will surely come to pass. The above code.
Let's hold on just a second, see if anybody's got any questions about what Ben has already read. I know that. Yeah, Judy.
When David is talking about that, somebody found in the Bible code thing or whatever they were searching, they found his and Mary's wedding date and stuff in there, their names, their wedding date and stuff. I thought that was pretty cool. What the Lord was telling me is that our names are written in there too. You know, our names and things about us are written in the Bible too.
They say everybody's name is in there.
Yeah,
and that's how, cool. I guess that's how they do it, through this sacred Bible code.
Yeah, you have to put in the right information though, and you know, to
ask your
questions or whatever.
Yeah, you got your whole life.
There's a book of life, you know, with your name written.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that I don't remember if he says it in here, but he said that he believes that the Bible is the book of life.
Yeah. That's pretty neat. All of your history, all the way up until you get up into heaven, is going to be in that word. That's amazing how God does that.
There he is. We're waiting for you, Michael.
I know. I got knocked off some kind of way. I don't know what happened. I think I do. Anyway, recording going. Yeah, it is. Yeah, go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, I was just wondering if David still had that program and if he ever used it still.
He used to. He hadn't had it for quite some time. Yeah. But there are people on the internet that use it all the time. You can get on there and type in Bible code, whatever, you know, and somebody will be utilizing it, giving it out. All right. Who wants to read next? Yeah, okay, Barry.
Okay, the above codes have been in the Torah for over 3,000 years. Even more important, proof of God's sovereignty in the inspiration of scriptures are the hundreds of prophecies in the surface text and of the thousands of prophecies in the types and shadows of all the Bible that are consistently coming true after 2,000 to 3,000 years. No psychic, palm reader, crystal ball reader, prognosticator, etc. can do such a thing, as Daniel also said. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream in which was hidden the future of the kingdoms of the world until the end, when the devil's false prophets could not reveal the dream or the future therein. Daniel, by the Spirit of God, did. First, he told the king of his error in seeking the future from these people. Daniel 2:27. The secret which the king hath demanded can neither wise men, enchanters, magicians, nor soothsayers show unto the king. 28. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and he hath made known what shall be in the latter days. Only a sovereign God could reveal to the king this future revelation of the history of the world. It is evident that the devil cannot accurately predict the future through his prophets because he has no sovereignty to bring it to pass. He can predict in the short term what he plans to bring to pass that is also ordained of God, but since all of his plans are not ordained, he makes many false prophecies. Codes have been found recently throughout the Bible by various other researchers, such as Jesus' name found throughout the Old Testament beneath the prophecies of the coming Messiah, the World Trade Center attack, the involvement of Osama bin Laden, the anthrax attack, the soon coming nuclear wars, the Gulf War, Saddam Hussein's missile attack on Israel, Yasser Arafat and his war on Israel, the Enron catastrophe and its domino effect, the coming one world currency, Flight 587, Flight 800 hit by a missile, the coming national ID card, the future bombing of the United States by Al-Qaeda and bin Laden, the future nuclear attack by terrorists, the terrible government decisions that take away freedoms, abortion, bringing the wrath of God, etc. Numerics, theomatics, and the Bible code are several of the many different types of hidden codes found in the scriptures. I'm convinced that a combination of these will uncover the greatest mysteries. to Bible code researchers of the New Testament, I have some advice. Use Dr. Penn's numerically correct numeric Greek New Testament, and you will find more and longer codes because the order of the books is correct, and only one letter added or subtracted from the original will destroy the numeric pattern in the text. Only a mind beyond our comprehension could have designed these codes simultaneously beneath an intelligible text. Dear friends, since God has made his word so impressively exact, do you think he would ever depart from it? Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 89, 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Hebrews 6, 18, it is impossible for God to lie. Since this is true and God has spoken, he has bound his actions by his word. His word not only sets the conditions for eternal life, but also sets the conditions for blessings and cursings in our earthly life. There's nothing more important than studying God's word that we may learn to live in God's kingdom and in doing, avoid the curses and live under the blessings.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for the numeric Bible. He got it here just in time, didn't he? God's so awesome. Open to God. Has anybody not got a numeric Bible? Well, great. Everybody's got one. How many of you use it? I use mine. Off and on, yeah. That's the way I do it. But I won't check something. I'll go to the numerics. Josie, you can get one from, if you go on the site, you could get one from Lulu. I think they're about $6 or something like that. Or, yeah, Judy?
Last time I looked on Lulu, it wasn't there.
Really?
Yeah. The last time I looked, it wasn't offered on there under.
Oh.
I searched under David. I searched under UVM. I searched under the name of the Bible itself. I did not find it on there. So I didn't know if they were making a change on not making it available or not through there for publishing.
I don't know.
Okay. That was a few weeks ago. I was a few weeks ago when I looked. I mean, it was probably a month ago now I looked.
Okay, somebody look and see if it's on there real quick. Just go to the site and click on Lulu. I think it's where you do it. See if it's offered. But anyway, that's a wonderful book. All right, anybody got any questions or any answers or any comments? What we've gone through here. That Alvin Panning was a smart guy. Said he had IQ up around 200. That's smart. Just off subject, what's the highest IQ you could have? Anybody know? It's whatever I got. That's what's the highest I got. that's as far as I can go with what I got. That's it. Other than the Lord.
I'd say it'd be pretty high if you're going to count God.
888, mind of Christ. That's right, Isaac. Amen. Everybody here has got one, too. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I just found it on Lulu. Numeric New English Testament, Ivan Panin. So it is on there.
Yeah, Cheryl just put it in the chat, the link there. Thank you, Cheryl. It used to be under David Eales under his books.
I just plugged in UBM and it came up.
Oh, it did? Okay, because it's listed under by Ivan Cannon. It doesn't say anything about UBM, but it's listed there.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Lord. It's there.
Amen. Yeah, Bonita.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned about the Gospels and the Pauline writing, because I had listened to some guy a while ago, and he was talking about, it was really weird, he just only read the red letter part of the Bible, and he couldn't understand why the Pauline books were there, and he couldn't figure it out. He couldn't understand why they were there, and it got me thinking, I'm like, well, why, you know, why didn't Jesus talk about all these things that Paul talked about, just like, you know. And then just yesterday, I was listening to Curry talk about that particular thing and something he was talking about. And he addressed that specifically. And it just like, oh, I get it. You know, it was, you know, when Jesus wrote when the Gospels were written, Jesus said in there, you are not able to understand these things right now. And so they couldn't be written then. And they were written for Paul, had to write them after Christ. So it was just interesting that you brought that up, because I just understood that yesterday. So
I think I got that from Kenyon, also, E.W. Kenyon.
Okay.
It was amazing when I ran across it, like you. You know, it was amazing that what I read about. Then I started looking at it, and I said, "Well, that's right, Junior."
That makes These sense.
Guys, the disciples stayed with Paul for quite a number of years, you know, but they didn't write anything about it. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Barry.
Yeah, I had a scripture today that's kind of falls along the line of promises, but it really means something today. This is Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the water courses. He turneth it whithersoever he will. And, you know, that sounds good, but you think about where we are with the current administration in the United States and some of the like other governments in other countries, and you see them doing this crazy stuff that makes absolutely no sense. Hey, God's making them do what he wants to do. He put them there. He's doing, making them do exactly what they want to. When you hear this crazy stuff that you just can't even believe, and it's just so foreign to common sense, this is what the Lord's bringing to us. He's bringing us all this stuff. And it's so easy to get wound up about just the outrageous corruption and immorality that we see, but this is what the Lord's bringing us. This is the flood that is coming against us, and it's just the way things are, but the Lord's bringing it. Satan's not bringing it. I mean, Satan is bringing it, but God's telling him to. And it just kind of gives you some peace when you see the headlines that tend to make your blood pressure go up.
Yeah, well, he's getting us ready, isn't he? We're fixing to go into this thing.
Close, yep.
They're doing these earthquakes, you know, killing tens of thousands of people. And it's coming here. It's coming here. We've been told. It's some of the stuff 10, 15 years ago, you'd have never thought this would have taken place. But they're killing folk right and left. They're destroying the food supply. Guess who's doing that? You know, just like Barry was talking about, he's getting us ready to go into this faith business big time. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Barry. Go ahead, Ozzy.
Yeah, something else too. Talking about the food supply, you know, I've been having a lot of dreams for a long time about the food supply, and famines. And, something we raise chickens. We've been raising chickens, man, since I feel like since like 2016. And, we had like a 1 year hiatus when we were in Florida. We didn't really have any chickens because we were in Florida. Anyways, we got chickens now, but we've been given a certain type of feed to them, right? It's cheapest feed, Track Supply. You will not get any eggs off that feed. It's just the winter, you know, the egg production goes down. I actually found out that it's across the country with Tractor Supply and this type of feed. And it's a pandemic on itself. You can call it that. And, because it's all Purina. But they're also in business with like the, one of the largest egg manufacturers in the country. So it's just amazing how far this corruption goes. And so, you know, even, and you know, like Barry said, it does give you a peace when it should make your blood boil, because no matter what I've tried to do or what I could do to provide for my family in these days, my strength will never be enough. But that's awesome, because I'm just going to have to trust God and he's going to do it. Chickens, eggs, it doesn't matter, man. Just, you know, there will be a ram caught in the thicket. You know what I mean? It's cool stuff like that.
Yep. Amen. I'm not sure what they put in there, Julie, but they put something in there to keep them from laying eggs. And it's this crazy deep state stuff. They're trying to kill folks, and they're doing a good job.
I mean, that's what chickens do. They lay eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we literally hadn't had a single egg, not a single one. So it's out of 20. 20 of them. But that's going to change, though, so I'm not worried about it.
Amen. Pray over those chickens. They're going to make eggs regardless.
Amen. Yeah. Did you see where they burnt down a big wheat manufacturer? Plant where they process wheat. They did all kinds of stuff to starve people. They want to eliminate a lot of folks, especially Christians, if they can. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, we read Revelation 18:3 in the surface text, and then there's the hidden in the values, the merchants of the earth, 666. So it's right in there. Now, see what it says in the last verse, 6:23 and 24 there. One we missed it in COVID. Anyway.
Amen. The word says it is going to happen. I'm asking everybody to unmute, but I have a reason to doing that. They told me to do that at Zoom. So just acknowledge that.
Okay.
That's all you got to do. You can mute back up.
Hi.
All right. Anybody else? Well, we are getting very close to things happening by just observing things in the ministry. We know that something big is fixing to happen, and it's going to be good, I think. I believe it. And we'll just see what happens. I think God's going to do this in the next little bit. And if he does that, man-child anointing is coming real quick. And the bride, all of that's going to happen. Well, Father God, we just praise you and glorify you for the things that you've already got lined out for us, Lord. We don't worry about it. We don't get anxious for nothing because we know you're in charge. We're reading the book that tells us you're already in charge. You got everything lined out for us, and all we have to do is just believe your word. And, Lord, we do. We just believe your word that says that be anxious for nothing. And if we run after you, Lord, with all our heart, everything's going to fall into place and be okay. We don't need to worry. Thank you. Be anxious for nothing, even after that verse. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we have a peace in our heart, joy in our heart, and a skip in our walk when we go down the street, because we know we're a lamp up on the hill. Glory to God. We are just waiting for this greater happening, awakening to take place, Father. This is called a revival. And Lord, we just pray for this revival. We pray, Father, that your spirit would go out upon with the spirit of repentance upon the lost and the ones that we've been praying for. We thank you for it, Father. In the name that's above all names, that's the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm going to, you told me not to worry about our families, that our families are in your hand. They'll be waiting on us in heaven when we get there, if not us soon. Either. And don't get anxious for nothing about our family, because you've got them in your hand. If we do what you want us to do, everything will work out just fine. Even the ones that don't seem like that there's anything that can change them back to the Lord. The Lord can change anything and anybody. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for putting that rest in our heart, believing and trusting in you, Lord, that our prayers have already been answered. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, Lord of God, Lord of God. We praise you, Lord. We don't get angry. We don't get anxious for nothing. Because we know you're in charge. You're sovereign. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests before we go? Well, all right. Y'all be blessed. Wait a minute. Is that Malcolm? Go ahead, Malcolm.
Yeah, Michael, thank you so much for what you put there in the signal group. And I passed that on to my daughter. She's pretty upset about everything, so I think it's going to encourage her.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe we're already rescued.
Yeah. And also, my wife's going into surgery tomorrow morning, so for her wrist. So I kind of talked her into watching The Chosen, because especially in the last few episodes, there's just miracle after miracle. And it's just, I think one thing we tend to not realize is that, you know, Jesus, I mean, we read about it so much that I tend to gloss over some things. And Jesus was just always doing miracles, and he was happy to do it. And for some reason, I think a lot of people think, well, maybe, I know he does miracles, but maybe there's no reason really for him to want to do a miracle for me. So anyway, I'm really happy my wife's watching, some of this footage. You know, it's not all, they take some liberties, and I understand that. It's just that I think it's pretty encouraging. Also, I don't know if you've seen the film, The Jesus Revolution. The same actor for Jesus in The Chosen is also the actor for this hippie pastor guy from the Jesus, back in the 1970s with the Asbury Revival, when I went to the Jesus people, Jesus freaks. So.
Okay.
Anyway, it's just, has anybody seen that?
No, I hadn't seen it.
I saw the two directors of the two films. One's a TV series, of course, the other one's a film, but they were both interviewing Jonathan, who's the actor for both of them, the lead actor. Anyway, it's just when they were shooting the footage for the baptism in the Jesus Revolution down there in California, they chose the same beach where they were, the Jesus people were doing all these baptisms there. And there was some of the extras, they had about 500 extras on the beach. And I guess one of them ran down into the water when they were actually shooting. And she came up to Jonathan, the lead actor, and she said, "Can we do this? Can we do this for real?" He said, "What do you mean? You want to be baptized for real?" And she said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, yeah, let's do it." Anyway, he said, she came up out of the water, just tears pouring down her cheeks, and he just bounded out toward the shore, you know. So something was happening, even when they were rolling the cameras. God was doing something there. So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed, yeah.